evening, wonderful people. Great Biafrans, wherever you're joining us from, across this very planet Earth, we welcome you to our very first address of this glorious year that Elohim has made, 2019. I welcome you and I say happy and a very prosperous new year to each and every one of you. Wherever you may be domiciled, wherever you may be listening from, if you're not part of this very wonderful and exceptional phenomenon that is IPOB, then I recommend that you join the nearest IPOB family. If there is no family for you to join, then I do strongly suggest that you start one yourself. And as I welcome you, I would like you to welcome those around you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night to some of you, because unlike any other radio, Biafra is listened to across the entire 24 time zones of the world. There is nowhere you go on this very planet that you will not find an IPOB family member. I welcome all of you once again. And with the time now at approximately 4 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. here in the Holy Land of Israel, I would ask you to remember the grace of the Most High, Elohim Chukwokikabia Mapuruminhanina. Before we go any further, we must call upon his name to ask for his blessing, his guidance, for his mercy and grace upon our lives. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. I am the leader of the indigenous people of Biafra. I am the director of Radio Biafra and Biafra Television, and it is my unique privilege to be addressing you all from the Holy Land of Israel on this very day, at a very distressing and turbulent time for our people. But we cannot afford to despair or to lose hope, because we know that Biafra is coming, and very imminently. And we also know that the inevitable collapse of the damnable Zoological Republic is at hand, because what is happening there, especially in Asorok, is unacceptable. A Sudanese cannot be the president of the Zoological Republic of Nigeria. This is my New Year's message, but I must also pray on this very New Year. We must bow our heads wherever we are, reflect, ponder, and think of all the wonderful things that Chukwokikabiam Elohim did for us in this very past year, and in fact in years gone by, and see where we are today as one family, IPOB, and give him thanks and adoration. In our distress, O Elohim, we have called upon thee, and you have always answered us. From deep in the realm of the dead, we called for help, and you listened to our cry. You raised us up from the depths of the earth into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled around us. All your waves and breakers swept over me. And I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened us. The deep surrounded us. Seaweed was wrapped around our head. To the roots of the mountains we sank down. The earth beneath bed us in forever. The earth appears to have swallowed us forever. But you, the creator of the heavens and the earth, our Lord and our God, you brought our life back. You raised us from the pit of darkness. When it appeared as if the enemies were overrunning us, we remembered your holy name. We prayed fervently unto thee. Our prayers rose to your presence in the heavens. Even those who cling to worthless idols turned away from your love for us. But all of us, with shouts of grateful praise, with sacrifice unto thee, we made good that which we vowed to make good before thee, because salvation cometh from thee and thee alone. This evening, all across the entirety of humanity, from this hallowed platform, Radio Biafra, here in Israel, may we all, the light of this very earth, may we all in IPOB, every Biafran, regardless of where you are, hold lovingly in our thoughts those who, like ourselves, are suffering from tyranny, subjugation, cruelty, and injustice. We must rededicate ourselves to working every day towards the alleviation of the suffering of those who are less fortunate than ourselves. May we recognize our solidarity even with strangers in our midst, because we are scattered all over the world. May we also remember the outcasts, the downtrodden, the abused, and the deprived, that no human being be treated as any other, that our common humanity binds us together in one fabric of mutuality, one garment of destiny. May we pursue the scriptural edicts, the vision of peace, that we might live harmoniously with one another and side by side, respecting differences, cherishing our diversity, with no one exploiting the weak, each living without fear of the other, each revering divinity in every human soul. May we struggle against institutional injustice, free those from oppression and contempt, act with purity of heart and mind, despising none, defrauding none, hating none, cherishing everybody, honoring every child of Elohim, every creature of the earth. May all Biafran people, the nation of Biafra, and all her peoples know peace in this new year. And may we nurture kindness and love everywhere to the glory, adoration, and exaltation of Elohim. Now and forevermore we pray. Ise. Thank you very much. And may we proceed to present on this very day, the very first day of January in the year of our Lord 2019, my New Year's message to the world, but especially to IPOB. Fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafra, and lovers of freedom all over the world, on behalf of the global family of IPOB, I welcome you all to 2019. And I know it is a year bristling with hope for our most divine and Elohim ordained quest to restore the freedom stolen from us by the oppressor and her local agents within the colonially constructed evil contraption we have come to know as Nigeria. I bring you this New Year's message from the Holy Land of Israel with a combined sense of triumph, sadness and hope. My sadness, which I am sure you all share with me, stems from the ultimate sacrifices some of us have had to make in pursuit of our rights to self-determination. Today, as we usher in the new year, let us spare a thought for all our heroes fallen. And I sit here to say before thee that they did not die in vain. They died in honor and duty to Biafra, to justice and to freedom. And to those injured in limbs and body, and those still detained illegally, we say that this family of yours, IPOB, is with you. Your plight is our plight, your pain remains our pain, and we will never abandon anybody, because here in IPOB we do not abandon our own. When we say we are one family, we mean it. We are one family bound in blood and in bone, dedicated to the sacrifice that is to be made for the restoration of Biafra that Elohim has promised us, that his will may be done upon our lives. For it has been said that the bravest are surely those who have the clearest vision of what is before them, glory and danger alike, and yet notwithstanding go out to meet it. I am indeed proud of this IPOB. I am proud of all of you. I cannot express it in words how elated and how honored I am to serve you. That name, IPOB, will exist as long as there is man on the face of this very planet. Forever and ever, every generation to come will reference this period in our time, the same way Israel referenced 1948, as when the mercy of the Most High descended from heaven upon his children, that light may come in the darkest recesses of Africa. I am indeed very proud of IPOB for your courage of conviction, for your strength of character, and for standing up to tyranny when it mattered most. Other people fell by the wayside. Other ethnicities joined in the persecution of the innocent. But IPOB stood strong and said, no, that evil is evil. It must be resisted. It must be countered. It must be pushed back. For evil cannot stand the test of time. Shame on those supporting the evil that APC represents, that the government of Nigeria represents. As I have said before, and I will repeat tonight, there is something evil at the heart of the soul of a black man residing in Nigeria. There is something abhorrent about it. And that is why IPOB is different. That is why we stand up to evil, no matter where it's coming from. I assure you all tonight that Biafra shall come, and very soon at that. And we shall find lasting comfort in it. I have no doubt whatsoever. Those who know me know this about me. that everything I say I am going to do, I do it. When I tell you that Biafra is coming, Biafra is coming, and there is nothing anybody can do about it. This year, we will set the yardstick for accomplishing this very noble task. For all of you principal officers of state, our esteemed journalists, those of you in family writers, those of you in Biafra writers, in Imujuku writers, in TBRV, the Sunrise crew that wakes up us every morning, and our e-warriors that never sleep, my own very astute and able Deputy Chairman 4, our own indefatigable Directorate of State led by the ever-reliable Mazichike Dosiem, our Head of Finance, Lolo Nenayanyam, our Biafra Land Coordinator Iketuku Ugoha, each and every unit, zonal, local government, state and national coordinator all over the world, I want you all to know that I am very proud of each and every one of you. The work you are doing is exceptional. It is not expected of African people to be so determined, to be so resolute, to be so humble in pursuit of what is glorious. Africans always fall by the wayside when it comes to the pursuit of freedom. But you have demonstrated a will, passion, and desire to do the will of the Most High. The work you are doing is exceptional. Together we achieved so much in 2018. And if your level of hard work and dedication can be sustained only for the first quarter of this year, 2019, I assure you that Biafra will be here sooner rather than later. The past few years hasn't been easy for us. And as most of you can recall, this is my first New Year's address to you since 2015. As we all know, through the past 4 years, circumstances ranging from my unlawful arrest and detention by the APC government of the dead Buhari, now championed by Jibril al-Sudani, from the tribulations of Ahanaeze Ndiwa and Igbo governors, their attempt to assassinate me, which culminated in the deadly military invasion of my home on the 14th of September 2017, that led to the loss of 28 of our gallant men. All these incidents have over the years prevented me from addressing you, the ever resolute and faithful IPOB worldwide family. Since 2015 and all through to the end of 2017, we have faced the worst persecutions and acts of state terrorism ever unleashed on a people. Ironically, and in total defiance of reason and logic, the Nigerian judiciary conspired with the executive to label IPOB that has never ever killed anyone, a terrorist organization, whereas the bloodthirsty Miyeti Allah Cattle Breeders Association, which is the cover that Fulani terrorist headsmen use to commit impunity, they have been rampaging through swathes of the Middle Belt with the active connivance of the government of Nigeria and their media, where sometimes the Nigerian media, especially Yoruba media, celebrate them as opinion leaders. How sad is that? In the face of all these hypocrisies and moral contradictions, in the face of all this hypocrisy, after hypocrisy, and moral contradictions, we Biafrans have exercised uncommon restraint and continue to demonstrate to the world our commitment to peaceful and lawful agitation by avoiding the temptation and all entreaties to resort to armed struggle. We have chosen this path because we trust in a new international order that is committed to helping all oppressed peoples to realize their rights to self-determination as long recognized by international and municipal statutes and conventions. Rather than weaken or tear us apart, the hardships we have all faced in these past years of persecution by the primitively totalitarian APC government of Nigeria and internal collaborators in Ohanaeze Ndigbo have brought us together as a people and have motivated us to dig ever deeper into our huge reserves of resilience to keep moving this restoration project forward, to the surprise of our enemies and saboteurs alike. We have confounded all those that thought that I, Nnamdi Kanu, and IPOB would go the way of those that went before us. Now they know we cannot be bought or sold like a commodity, unlike those that shout Biafra during the day only to serve the interest of the corrupt government of the zoo at night. If you are not with IPOB, you are not involved in Biafra agitation. You are only a slave for the zoo. Those that mortgage their soul and conscience to the demon of avarice and self-enrichment at the expense of the well-being of the masses will answer for their sins at the appropriate time. They will be held responsible. Everybody will account for his stewardship at the right time. Using the name of Biafra to endear yourselves to politicians is a crime, and we will not tolerate it. I stand here today to reaffirm that we remain whiter than white and whiter than snow. Only IPOB can make such a boast. Those who are in the habit of using our agitation for Biafra restoration to endear themselves to positions in order to obtain financial reward should have no business with freedom fighting. Issuing meaningless press statements designed to curry favor with the same discredited politicians responsible for our misery will only hasten the demise of such individuals or group. Some of these unknown quantities struggling to remain relevant only rush off to the press to issue a statement. They are not on the ground. They have not fought any battles. They have not witnessed any encounter with the armed forces of the zoo. But they somehow think that by issuing statements that they are fighting for Biafra, they are only deceiving themselves. If there is something we are certain of in the year 2019, it is the fact that voting will be boycotted, starting with the presidential elections. There will be no voting in Biafra land. Come the presidential elections, everywhere will be paralyzed. Everywhere will be paralyzed. They must understand this. Okezie Ikpeazu will be removed from office as the governor of Abia State because of the role he played in initiating Operation Pattern Dance that killed hundreds of our people. This same Okezie Ikpeazu is responsible for the illegal detention without trial of our Biafran Jews currently in detention in Omoya. A crime for which Okezie Igbazu and his supporters will never ever be forgiven. Anybody supporting Okezie Igbazu is an enemy of the people. I don't care who you are. Allow me to repeat. Anybody supporting Okezie Igbazu is an enemy of IPOB and of the Biafran people. Some of you have rushed to him to collect money, claiming you are one pro-Biafra group or the other. You then rushed off to some newspaper publications to give them money to write whatever rubbish that is coming out of your mouth. Let me warn you, if you think you have what it takes, come down to Abia State and raise any poster of Okezie Igbazu. That day you will know that IPOB owns Biafra land. We will set an example with you. The best you can do is to go to a newspaper and be chatting rubbish all day long. You cannot come on the ground in Biafra land and do those nonsense you're mouthing off somewhere in Lagos. You cannot do it. I know some of you are very poor, both physically and in the spirit. You have this insatiable void within you. You feel that acquiring material wealth from politicians might fail, but you are mistaken. Anybody who comes out to defend Okezie Igbazu will be in serious trouble, and their name will go down in history as those that rose against the will of the people. If you don't want to be one of them, just stay clear of IPOB and what we are doing. Okezie Igbazu must fall, regardless of what his handlers and controllers from Sokoto Caliphate does with INEC. Okezie Igbazu will fall. If Okezie Igbazu doesn't fall, the world will bear us witness as to what will become of Abia State. If you're investing in Okezie Igbazu becoming the governor of Abia State, you're going to lose your money. You're wasting your time. We said we're going to boycott elections, but you see Abia State. Okezie Igbazu must be removed to serve as a warning to others that their excesses will one day count against them. No amount of state-sponsored rigging through INEC. We know Fulani Islam, they control INEC. We know that they control the army, they control the police, they control everybody. We know. And they have made up their mind to put their boy back into office. Okezie Igbazu. A monumental disgrace. A man that has done nothing for 4 years. Only to invite our staff Fulani to kill us. Some of you don't know. They killed us in National High School, Aba. Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what happened during Operation Python Dance 2? All those in support of Okezie Igbazu, all those criminals running to the media to write nonsense in support of Okezie Igbazu. Did you not hear about Amnesty report? Those they killed and threw into a borrow pit and poured acid on them? Is it because you've not picked up arms yet? Have you forgotten about the bodies discovered in Okwa? Have you forgotten? All under one single man, Okezie Igbazu. And you're telling me that you're supporting him. If you are strong, come out on the streets of Abia State and tell me you're Okezie Igbazu supporter. You see what will happen to you. INEC will not save Okezie Igbazu from the ignominy that awaits him. Nobody can save him. His Hausa friends have assured him, oh, his Fulani friends, because Hausa doesn't exist. They have assured him Oh, don't worry. You will go back. INEC is that will rig you back. You are all wasting your time. Anyway, we are looking for an excuse all this while. Rigo Kezibazu in. And then you see what will happen to you. Before IPOB came, there was nothing left of our dignity and self-respect as a people. You go to Ikwe, they'll say, oh, I'm not Igbo. You go to Anioma, somebody from Onuchibo will tell you, I'm not Igbo. Somebody from Umunede will say, oh, I'm not Igbo. You go to Anang, you go to Efik clans, and they tell you, no, we are different. But since the coming of IPOB, we have united our people under one common banner, under one common mission to set everybody free. I repeat, to set everybody free. I repeat, before the emergence of IPOB, there was nothing left of an Igbo man and a Ifeke Joe, useless, trampled upon. You go begging to the north. But thanks to IPOB, you have now regained your dignity. Because we are unbuyable. Because IPOB is formidable. We remain the largest mass movement on the face of the earth, bar none. Bar none! Now that Chukwuka Abiamah has determined that we should come, our various ethnic nationalities that constitute the historic and ancient Biafran Federation are now more united than ever. The high level of togetherness, bonding, and sense of purpose amongst the people of Biafra as a result of the activities of IPOB has ensured that Anang Igbo Ibibio, Efik, Ijo, Isoko, Ishekiri Robo, Igala Idoma, and Igede are now working with a sense of purpose never before witnessed in the history of our people. That is what Elohim has done using IPOB. Now you understand when we say one family, what we mean by that. The Biafran dilemma and the tragedy of what Nigeria has been turned into have reached the point where the world can no longer afford to be silent. As the renowned English philosopher Edmund Burke said, and it is often true, that, and I quote, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That is why impunity and evil has befallen the zoo and nobody's talking. If you rise up to speak against tyranny and oppression, they put you in prison. And when they put you in prison without trial, you have judges, magistrates, rubber stamping the dictatorial pronouncements of a Sudanese in Asorok. Tomorrow they wear that wig looking like a Torotoro, walking about everywhere claiming that they are my learned men, my learned sister, my learned brother, a bunch of illiterate fools. A Sudanese giving you orders from Asorok. Oh, lock up this person, lock up that person, lock up Dinomala. You go and rush and lock them up. The likes of Femi Fanokayode, who are speaking, is under the threat of arrest. Everybody, once you rise up to speak, you are condemned. And my greatest pain is that Yoruba media condone this evil. I have said this to Yoruba people, with the exception of the likes of Ayadebanja and a few of them who are honorable men. Honorable men. There are honorable men in Yoruba land. You see Yoruba media, your judgment is coming. And when that judgment comes, there will be nobody to save you. Mark my words today. Because of the duplicitousness of Yoruba media, the Yoruba race will suffer. Write it down somewhere. I say, Nnamdi Kanu told you so. On the 1st of January 2019, the Yoruba race will suffer. Because Yoruba media are evil. They support evil. They will die inside evil. Because they want presidency. They want access to oil. They want us to keep on trading in Lagos. Because of that, they are prepared to lick the boots of Fulani people in this quest to subdue and subjugate truth, which is what IPOB represents, as a matter of fact. Since time, starting from 2015, the level and amount of terrorism unleashed from the Nigerian Sahel, Fulani land, and the Maghreb has ravaged entire communities, including Biafrans. See what is happening in the Middle Belt. And what I find astonishing is the fact that there are some people within the Middle Belt talking about elections, talking about voting. I read something that was quite moving a few days ago. Somebody said that Nigerians are like sheep. I said, what do you mean? I know they're animals, but what do you mean by sheep? He said, because when you come to feed them, you know a sheep, when you're coming to feed a sheep, that sheep is very happy to see you. But the sheep doesn't know that the reason why the shepherd is feeding him or her, as the case may be, is to get you fat so they can slaughter you. You see a goat when you come. When you go, oh, let us get something for this goat to eat. You are not doing it because you love the goat. You are doing it because you want to fatten the goat and prepare it for slaughter. That is what is happening in the Middle Belt. I feel sorry for them because I had hoped, or should I say reasoned, that by now, a complete and utter repudiation, a rejection of everything to do with Nigeria will be the most logical position to adopt. But people are talking about voting. Tinubu is using what I call the Yoruba media preponderance, their undue influence in the media, because every major newspaper house has a headquarters in Lagos, controlled by Yoruba people. They are feeding you lies. They are lying to you, deceiving you, massaging your pain, telling you, oh, don't worry, election will solve everything. But all of a sudden, you have discovered that they are pushing for the same person responsible for your pain, or should I say, the same group of cabal responsible for your pain. Almost every Yoruba paper is supporting APC. They want the Sudanese to continue in power. They want Abba Kyari to be pulling the strings from behind the scenes. That is the truth they will not tell you, but it is the truth that Nnamdi Kanu will tell you every blessed day. I have Yoruba friends, and I love them exceedingly. But I must speak the truth, the same way I expect them to tell me the truth about Biafran people. When I look at the injustices happening in Nigeria, when I look at the lies, the deception, and the fraud being committed by Yoruba media, I feel sorry for our people, especially those living in Lagos and those unfortunate enough to be born there. To make matters worse, the Nigerian presidency has either failed to protect its own citizens or has itself become complicit and unleashed terror on those that actually voted for them, thus stoking the notion that some group that controls the levers of state power have set out to subjugate others in a Nigeria that was never meant to be this way. Do you see how cleverly, of course, with the advice of the British, how the Fulanis have covered every market. They decide if you live or if you die. They decide who rules or who doesn't rule you. And have you also noticed how very cleverly the Yorubas have always supported the Fulanis? Do you all know that in modern, should I say, when I say modern, let me say from say 1963 onwards to this very date, Yorubas have never, ever, ever before voted for anybody from Biafra. They never voted for Jonathan. They never did. They didn't vote for Azikiwe. When Ekweme came out to contest, of course, it was their turn because of Abiola. They never voted for our people. And they will never, ever vote for you. Can you imagine the affrontery? Obasanjo was in power for 8 years, and after that 8 years, now Osinbajo, a Yoruba man, is the vice president to a Sudanese. Upon all of that, no Igbo man has ever been recommended to be the president of Nigeria. Even at that, Yorubas are saying that they are going to vote for a Fulani man so that the presidency will return to Yoruba land again in 2023. I have no interest in zoo politics, neither does IPOB, but we are pointing all these things out so that you know that the injustice you're facing is entrenched. They will never love you. I'm saying this thing for a job, for a BBO, for Anang, for Efik. All of you people, without Biafra, you're doomed. You're finished. Go to Ogoni land. Ken said we were thought he could work out something with Fulani people. Today he's in the grave. They said Ogoni flag off, Ogoni clean off, Ogoni sweep off. What has happened? Nothing. But there are some people in Iguacha, in River State, contemplating voting. Do you see how foolish your lives are? When we say you are baboons, you are animals, you don't quite understand it. You say I'm insulting you. I'm not insulting you. It's because you can't reason very well. You are like that hungry sheep that they're fattening up for slaughter. Not because Fulani, they love you. No, of course not. They use their Yoruba media friends to tell you what you want to hear so that you can hate the only person who can save you. We must continue because it's the right thing to do. Better yet, in the face of all these tribulations, there's a solution. We are not agitating for Biafra for no reason. There is a reason and there is a solution. Britain put Nigeria together so they can do what is called proxy colonialism. So they can control you through a people who are loyal to them. Some of you forgot that before Buhari died, Britain supported Buhari. Whereas Buhari had an outstanding warrant for his arrest by Interpol inside Britain. Britain still supported him. You have forgotten that Buhari ordered for the kidnap of Umaru Diko and put him in a crate. It was discovered. And Buhari was blacklisted by the British government. But when it came to the position of the president of the zoo, they chose Buhari because he's Fulani. Fulani will always cooperate with them, will always work with them. Not that there's anything that the Fulanis can do that Biafrans cannot do. No. But Britain feels that Biafrans are intelligent. Allowing intelligent people to run Nigeria means that Nigeria will become a viable country. And they don't want that. They don't want it. That is why they don't want Biafra. They are afraid that the emergence of Biafra will prove once and for all time that a black man is not that stupid after all. Everybody knows in their heart of hearts that there is no way a Fulani man can move Nigeria forward. It is impossible. Talk less of a Sudanese. There is a solution. And what is that solution? If truth be told, societies can only progress when among competing ideas, they choose the most progressive of the lot. Once you choose the progressive idea, the best. So that's why America is going forward, even Israel. Do you know in Israel, if they don't jail their prime minister, they're not happy? Are they not pursuing Netanyahu now? Netanyahu, they're pursuing him. Israel wants to prove to you that we sent you into office to go and serve us. Any day you step out of the line, you go to prison. Israel, they love jailing their prime minister and their ministers. I don't know why. But in the zoo, Buhari died, buried in Saudi Arabia. They brought a look-alike from Sudan. All of you are jumping up. And I'm saying to all of you that went to the rally of Jibril, look at his left ear. Look at the palm of his hand. He's no longer waving. Nobody's complaining. Oh, it's nothing. Because a white man hasn't said it yet. And when I tell you people that you are inferior, you'll start complaining. This is even more so when societies have the benefit of hindsight. Nigeria cannot be an exception to what has worked elsewhere. We, the indigenous people of Biafra, have proposed and still proposing the only idea that will hold Nigeria's spiral towards bloody implosion. If things continue the way they are, there's going to be a war. I'm telling you this. It's unsustainable. It's not just possible. It's unsustainable. Sending police to go and fight terrorists. Sending the army to go and kill civilians in the south. What sort of people are they normal? Are you sure they are normal? And Nigerians, are you people okay? And the people, Yoruba papers are carrying on as if nothing is wrong. So you don't think, oh my goodness, me. Yeah? So as Israel is securing the border around Gaza, now they send the police. And then send the army to come and be controlling traffic in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. I can't understand it. So police can go to the war front, but not the, and the army will go to be setting up checkpoints. Oh, dear me. Oh, dear me. Somebody should explain, is that normal? Is it normal? But why can't ordinary Nigerians see it? Are they blind? How can you, I don't know, send police to the war front and then send army to go and conduct elections? I can't get my head around it. Honestly, we, the indigenous people of Biafra, have proposed and still proposing that the only idea that will halt the bloody disintegration of the zoo is a referendum for everybody. What is wrong with asking people what they want? This cabal ruling the zoo, they're not up to 20. But they control your mind. They control the minds of the Yorubas through Tinubu and his newspapers and his media presence. And an ordinary Yoruba person cannot see beyond his nose. Do you know why? His fear is of Igbo man. I don't try to understand what I'm saying. A Yoruba man can no longer reason because the sum of all his fears is in an Igbo man. That's all he's interested in, an Igbo man. So if you tell them, can we open the seaport in Calabar? They say, no, an Igbo man will benefit, no. Can we open the seaport in Igwater in Port Harcourt? No, it will benefit an Igbo man. Okay. Can I then fly from Igwater to Los Angeles? No, because an Igbo man will benefit. What the Yorubas are doing is cutting off their nose to spite their face. As long as an Igbo man is down, anything is possible. If Fulani can eat all the money in the zoo, nobody gives a damn. Do you see the mess we are in? I'm not saying every Yoruba person is like that, no. There are some Igbo people who are worse. There are Igbo people who are worse, who will trade our slave status for one ministerial appointment. That's what they've been doing. You will see them now, they will say, it is this person's turn. Oh, why don't we bring out somebody to go and do this? One person will run to his friend in Funtua and say, I know how to undermine my brother, don't worry. Is it not happening in Biafra agitation? I will say something about Okezie as an idiot from somewhere looking for money to complete the roofing of his house. We'll go and issue a statement in the newspapers to the effect that, oh, Okezie Paz, we are not part of them, oh. But you say you're a Biafran. And you saw what Okezie Paz did to Biafrans. And because some of you unconscionable leaders of MASOP, you think they can kill, oh, because they killed MASOPians and you did nothing. Because of that, you think that Nnamdi Kanu will allow IPOB family members to be killed and not hold anybody responsible? Do you see how foolish you are? One idiot was lacking money. He's building a house. Olierugena roofing. He's seeking to buy Cameroon sink. And the only way he can do it is by appearing to counter what IPOB is saying. The idiot is finished. Completely finished. Complete and total. If he's strong, let him come and campaign for Okezie Paz openly. He'll be torn to shreds with bare hands. And a man cob. Only referendum can save the bloody implosion of the zoo. Only a referendum. One day the Yorubas will overcome their envy and fear of an Igbo man. One day. Because the pain and hardship will be too much for them to bear as well. They must conduct a referendum on self-determination for Biafrans and indeed any other organized and cohesive group that demands it. That is the only fair way. Not through federalism, not devolution, not restructuring. No. To drive home our demand, IPOB will ensure that the entire land of Biafra is paralyzed on whatever date they choose to hold their presidential elections. This position is irreversible unless our simple demand is met. Do you know why the presidential election is very, very key? That day the whole world will be watching. No longer like Anambra that nobody's interested in. The world will be watching. And we will paralyze Biafra land. If you want to be free of the chains of slavery and bondage in the zoo, boycott presidential elections and the zoo will crumble to your tent, O Israel. Go and vote and you renew your license. Forget all the devil says, oh, it's your right. It's your democratic right. Is it what dividend? Those pastors telling you rubbish, they are doing it because they have something to gain from it. I am telling you, if other Nigerians were as reasonable as IPOB, all you need to do to change everything, to have electricity, running water, everything is not to vote. That's all. That time they will come to you and ask you, what do you want? And then you tell them. Common sense, isn't it? But they don't have it. Only IPOB does. There will be no election in Biafra land. Presidential election, no, it won't happen. Not in Biafra land. And we understand they're sending their army, you know, they said they have no weapons and equipment. And we got the intel that they're sending their army to come to Biafra land. Anywhere you see IPOB, shoot. I pray you shoot. Believe you me, that's what I'm praying for. I am praying that you shoot because I am in Israel. I pray you shoot. That day, I will see the idiot that will stand in front of me and tell me that self-defense is not allowed. Shoot. And then you will see. As one prophet said a few years ago, the time will come when you ask for dialogue and there will be no dialogue. We are there. We are going to boycott. Come, bring your army and shoot. Then you see what will happen to your army in our land. I'm not telling you not to shoot. Come to our land and kill us. And then you see what will happen. Even Britain will abandon you. A bunch of mad, cattle-heading tribe. While others are busy pontificating on the pages of newspapers or selling their soul to the highest bidder in Abuja, IPOB. Only IPOB. Only IPOB, indigenous people of Biafra. Only IPOB. I wouldn't do ocean the other. Today you are part of Nigeria movement. The next day you're the Agasar Buddhist. No brain. Only IPOB. If you want to be free, IPOB. It doesn't matter who you are. Come join IPOB or start one where you are. Everybody will be free. What we are pursuing is freedom for everybody, not just for Biafrans. I said for everybody. I have said it time and time again. Take the bloody oil and gas. We don't need it. We don't need oil and gas. What for? We have our brain. Yoruba, if oil is your problem, take it. I know that Fulani cannot live without oil and gas. Come and take it. We don't need it. We just want to be free. Freedom is all we're asking for. Not natural resources. They write long essays and not speak because they research it for weeks. Write brilliant grammar. All comes to zero, to naught. Doesn't make any sense. Sometimes I wonder what they study at the zoo universities that they attend. Only IPOB is on this long walk to set Biafra free. We are black people in sub-Saharan Africa. Will, for the first time since colonization, live under guaranteed freedoms and rights, unlike the primitive arrangement people are forced to live under in Nigeria. We are not going to get there overnight, I know that. But in this 2019, we will make some of our most significant strides yet to accomplish our stated mission, which is to restore Biafra. We must always be guided by the reasoning that underpins our belief that Nigeria as presently constituted is unworkable. By virtue of their orientation and heritage, the dominant ruling Arewa Northern Nigeria with their feudal societal structure is not designed to understand or practice democracy. A Fulani man can never be a democrat. It's impossible. It's like introducing democracy in Saudi Arabia. It is not possible. It is incompatible with their core religious beliefs. Incompatible. How can you have Sharia and democracy? Does that make sense to anybody? In the 11 states of Fulani controlled Hausa North, you have 11 states on Sharia, and then you have democracy. Does that make sense to anybody? Does that make sense to anybody? The laws of Sharia come from the Quran. The laws of the secular state goes into a constitution. So which one are you going to believe? You heard Bintang Yako talk about Sharia law. Sharia law is from Islam. It's from the Quran. I don't know. Am I making any sense at all? I don't know how people reason sometimes. I don't understand it. By virtue of their orientation and heritage, Fulani people with their feudalism in their areas, they can never understand the meaning of democracy. That's why some of them came out and said, oh, this Biafra agitation, we should suspend the constitution. And he says he's a professor of law. They don't understand the essence of a constitution. That's why they don't obey it. Where do you think before Buhari died, he never obeyed any court order? Because to them, he's alien. All they know is Sharia. And so telling them that man can make laws that may infringe on the laws that Quran said Muhammad made, you have a very serious problem. Very big problem. Now, how can I be in some country with such people? Not that I hate them. But the way you do things are markedly different to how I do things as well. They're not the same and I can never be. Fulani can never practice democracy. That is why they rigged elections. Do you know that I read somewhere that the former INEC chairman called Nuhu Ribadu, whatever his name is, that he's in support of Jibril. I shed tears. That tells you the mindset of your average Fulani man. No matter how poorly they are performing, a Fulani man will always gravitate towards a Fulani man. And the Yorubas will follow them, because Yorubas are controlled by the Fulani people as well, because they are, most of them are Muslims, like Bola Ahmed Tinubu. And is Loyu the spiritual head of Muslims in the zoo is who? He's the Sultan of Sokoto. So they have to be loyal to the Sultan of Sokoto, of course. Do you see the mess that the zoo is in? By virtue of the orientation, I keep saying, they cannot practice democracy. This was one of the greatest mistakes the likes of Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe made. Nnamdi Azikiwe is a brilliant man, intelligent, the finest of his time. But he made one fundamental error. The fact that black people have black skin doesn't mean we are all one people. It doesn't mean that. Are all white people the same? Do you know that the social welfare system in France cannot work in Britain? One believes in pure free market economy. The other one believes in intervention from the state. That is called the Keynesian and the Smith school. The supply siders and the demand siders. You've heard about Keynes, haven't you, in economics? And you heard about Adam Smith. These are two opposing schools of thought in economics, that you can use demand to stimulate the economy, or that you cannot actually allow supply to determine what happens within an economy. Laissez-faire and interventionist approach. Britain opts for the more middle ground, I would say, laissez-faire approach. Whereas in France, they believe in intervening. Two of them can even be in the same country. Didn't UK leave the EU? These are white Christians, democratic nations in Europe. They don't agree. Talk less of people that don't know the meaning of democracy. That is what I'm trying to get black Africans to understand, that your value system is what binds you together. That's what glues you together. Not because a white man said so. Because look at it, said you from today, your name is Nigeria. You don't have to agree with it. Because Ted Heath, that took Britain to EU, is dead. Today, was it not Cameron that brought him out of it? Of course, it's got to be Theresa May. These are the things that blacks don't understand. When I attend lectures in England, when my lecturer is speaking, I listen. I don't regurgitate every nonsense in the textbook. I listen and I reason. These are the things lacking in black people. And we are seeking to correct that this very year. Nnamdi Azikiwe made a very big mistake. The social arrangements they have in northern Nigeria makes it impossible for their leaders to appreciate and respect democratic values. Such as you have somebody respecting the rule of law, they cannot. Freedoms and liberties, they don't know the meaning of it. That is why a 70-year-old man can marry a 13-year-old girl by force. That is why Boko Haram came out and said no to Western education. They force their views of life on other people. We are Republicans, we don't do it. And can never, ever do it. These noble ideas of democracy are incompatible with Sharia. The sooner you understand this, the better. As long as you have Sharia, you cannot be a Democrat. Anywhere there is Sharia, anywhere in the world, they are not Democrats. The sooner Yoruba media understand this, the better. But of course, there are Yoruba Muslims that crave and yearn for Sharia. Through federalism, particularly in Nigeria, is unrealistic. Where 12 states have already adopted Sharia as state religion and code of justice, which denies non-adherence of that religion certain freedoms guaranteed by the military-imposed Nigerian constitution. Isn't it very ironic? You have the constitution of Abdul Salami Abubakar, the militaristic constitution of 1999, where the provision in the constitution is at odds with Sharia in the north, the Sharia overrides the constitution. Whereas the constitution is meant to be the all and all. Do you understand what I'm... I don't know if people understand what I'm saying. Maybe I'm not explaining it very well this evening. I don't know. I said, you have a constitution. They make laws. You know, Ikekwe and all the rest of them. They say, yeah. And they share their 18 million every month. And they go home. They make laws. Those laws, where they are in contradiction with the Sharia of the 12 Fulani states in the north, all that nonsense in the Senate is rubbish. Show. They throw it away. If not, why would they destroy you and I in the same country? Ikechukwu is here with me, so I'm using him as an example. I don't drink. I don't like alcohol, but Ikechukwu drinks and likes alcohol. When Ikechukwu goes out to buy alcohol, he pays tax on it, and they use that alcohol to treat me. They tax on the alcohol to give me treatment. But Ikechukwu comes to my hometown. Maybe they transferred him as a worker to my hometown. On entering my hometown, he was caught somewhere drinking beer, and they arrested him and jailed him. And I, the beneficiary of the VAT from his drinking, is in support of his incarceration. I don't know if that makes any sense to any human being. That's what's happening in the north. They say she don't drink beer. You can see them destroying cartons upon cartons and bottles of beer. But Kano State is the largest beneficiary of VAT. But Yoruba media will not say anything about it. Do you see how evil Nigeria is? You rob Peter to pay Paul. If I go to drink beer, you say I'm a Nigerian, but I cannot go to Kano to drink beer openly. Why? Is there any law stopping me from consuming any beverage? The answer is no. Why are you stopping me in Kano? Where you benefit directly from the VAT coming from beer sales. Only in Nigeria. Conversely, restructuring has defied every sensible definition. Nobody can define it. That is why simple referendum is the only way forward. Come to think of it, was it not a federal arrangement of the federation that Nigeria had at independence? But it did not even survive up to 6 years. What then is the new true federalism that world is talking about? Can you want to know, Akako? I want to know. Explain it to us. Restructuring? Let them leave Biafra and join restructuring. Restructure what to what? From what to what? I'm asking you. What are you restructuring? Oh, you mean an additional state where one of your Awasa slaves will be the governor answering to Awasa people? With a police inspector. With a Fulani police inspector. That when IPOB decide to march on the street, they destroy us. We don't believe in restructuring. Restructuring will become unworkable because it failed in the past. What we need is a referendum. Let the people decide the type of country they want to have. I have nothing against those wishing to live under the Fulanized British colonial contraption called Nigeria, as most Yoruba and Fulani people do. What I resent is the inability, or should I say, the unreasonableness of the chattering class in Nigeria to come to the inescapable realization that no country with a myriad of divergent value systems can peacefully coexist as a nation state. It is impossible. And I am a man of war. Impossible. This elementary political philosophy that everybody ought to know about, every political scientist ought to know this. Everybody knows this. What determines those you fuse together is your value system. Not even your religion, your value system. I believe in freedom, and I was a man doesn't believe in freedom. So my daughter can play football for Nigeria. But the daughter of a Hajia in the north cannot play football because you don't want another man to see her legs. Does that make any sense to anybody? Some of these things are there, but you have refused to reason. This is why I call you Uzu. You have refused to reason. Meaningful human development in Nigeria is impossible because the Fulani feudal mindset, Yoruba monarchical system, because there they have monarchy, you know, they have all this Kabiesi, and the Republican disposition of Biafrans are forever irreconcilable value systems that will ensure the unworkability of Nigeria as a country from now till the kingdom come. I am a Republican. My Yoruba friends believe in their monarchy. They bow down when they see somebody. I like that. It's a sign of respect. I love it. Hausa Fulani. Believe in whatever it is that they be feudal. What's that thing they do in the north? Rankadede. In the morning, you come with your bowl you come with your empty bowl, and Alhaji will give you porridge. You eat. You be doing rankadede. You don't go to school. That is why they have nomadic schools and alamajiri schools that Jonathan funded extensively. Why do you think they have all of that? They don't believe that men are born equal in the north. If you're born a street beggar, you will give birth to a street beggar. That's what they believe in the north. That's why they have nomadic schools and alamajiri schools. But where we come from, everybody wants to better themselves. Equality across the board. They don't have it in the north. And let me ask you, they say Nigeria is a republic, which is an anomaly. How can Nigeria be a republic with all this, his royal highness this, lower highness that? How is that possible? Even they've not even resolved that very simple contradiction. You don't know if you, all the royal highnesses that you have, of course my father included, does it mean we are living in a monarchical system or we are living in a republican system? I can't get it. Even that simple contradiction, you cannot even resolve it. I want to talk about restructuring. In America, do you have kings and chiefs? This is a king this of this. This is her royal majesty of this. Because America is a republican state. It's a republic, so to speak. France is a republic. England is not a republic. Britain is not. That's why you have the Duke of Devonshire. You have the Duchess of Kent and all the rest of them. You have the Queen. The same as them. You have monarchs, same as Denmark. Here you don't know if you're a republic or if you're a monarchy. You have no idea. And you want to dabble into restructuring. You cannot even solve a simple problem. You want to go into restructuring. Misguided people. Poorly educated people. I hasten to add. This is pure elementary philosophy. Everybody knows this. Irreconcilable value systems. It is tantamount to fusing. Imagine bringing England, Saudi Arabia, and USA into one country. Is that possible? Is that possible? That's what they're trying to do to us. You bring a part of Afghanistan, you bring a part of Kenya, you bring people from USA, you mix them together, say, oh, now you are one country, your name is Nigeria. It's not possible, because the way a Fulani man solves a problem is different from how I will solve it as a Biafran. Simple and short. It will never, ever work. It's like... I just want you to imagine this. Transplanting a portion of sword-wielding Kandahar province in Afghanistan, a piece of the monarchy supporting East Anglia in England, and a part of the Republican gun-loving libertarian Texas in the USA, and form one country out of it. In the morning, you ask a Texan to courtesy, to bow before the queen or bow before the king. He'll probably shoot you, first of all. You don't know that those that founded the USA are from England? You don't know that? What did they leave? They said, all men were created equal by God. No king, no queen. They went to America. These are English people. They went to America. They founded a new nation. He was a child of an English man, migrant, George Washington, that liberated them from England. People and their useless sentiments. They said, we are Americans now. So you don't know that America is the extension of England? But they said, we don't need queen. We don't need king. We don't need your highness, your lowness. We don't need your lordship here. Everybody's high, hello, high, hello. If you won't answer, you go. And now you're beginning to understand it, isn't it? Maybe we should be charging people for coming to IPOB to listen to Radio Biafra. This is the best university in the whole world, bar none. Bar none, and it is free. Courtesy of IPOB, it is free. It will be like returning humanity to some kind of Hobbesian, you know, state of nature, by Hobbes, where life will be truly hellish, brutish, and short. These same irreconcilable, divergent, and often conflicting conditions are what we are being forced to endure in the British, artificially created Nigeria today, due to a combination of poor education, inability to reason properly, and dependency on one natural resource for national economic survival. Nigeria will never ever be a viable nation because the ethnicities the British cobbled together are not the same people and can never ever be. Even Britain, that created Nigeria, have respect for ethnic nationalities in their own country. Scotland and Wales have their own parliament. They make their own laws and their own languages. But Britain can never tell Hausa, Fulani, allow these people to be free. No, never. But in your own country, Britain, Scotland is free from England. Wales is free from England. They have their own laws. They raise their own taxes. But Britain, England cannot advise Fulani to do the same thing. Do you know why? Because they don't see you black people as human beings. You are animals. Do you know that Scotland retains the right to become independent? Now, I'm asking Britain this. If Scotland can be allowed to determine their own future, why not Biafra? Oh, no, 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 because the freedom they're talking about is for only white people. It's not for blacks. No, Biafra is black people. We control you. God gave you to us as our slaves. We do with you as we like. That was why we handed over to Fulani. We cannot colonize Nigeria directly, so we use the Fulani to do the colonization for us. Because they are dumb. They don't know anything. Name one Fulani scientist. Name one Fulani poet. Do you know any? Name one Fulani popular musician. Name one person. Don't even know if it's Arabic music or Fulani music. The British can give Scotland autonomy, but they cannot advise Fulani to do the same with Biafra. Ask yourself, why? Within the answer lies everything you're looking for. They are afraid of Biafra. They know that Biafra will put everybody to shame, with or without oil and gas. We don't need it. Fulani, I give you a challenge. Take all the oil and gas and give us our freedom. After 5 years, you'll be looking for a visa to come to Biafra land. And they know it. They know it. Ask yourself, why are the privileges enjoyed by Scotland not extended to Biafra? There lies the meaning and the answer to everything that you need to know regarding how you are regarded by the British. Perhaps Nigerians are subhumans, not deserving of such an opportunity. The way Nigeria and most other similarly backward states in Africa we are created is not how nations are formed or created. We all know that. It's not how they are formed or created. These unnatural colonial experiments in Africa is the reason why the continent will continue to struggle until an intelligent breed of people rise up, like IPOB, to return it to its pre-colonial borders. Let everybody go back to where they were before the white man came, and you see progress in Africa overnight. Only then also will Africa know peace. With the benefit of hindsight and history, I make bold this very 1st of January, 2019 evening, to say that anything short of a referendum would be duplicitous and futile. The earlier people stopped deceiving themselves on this, the better for all oppressors and the oppressed alike. In my time since this struggle, I have come to the realization that Biafra means different things to different people. To northern Nigerian Muslims, especially the Fulbe elite, that's the Fulani elite, it means armed rebellion as well as a design to deny them free will access to the vast oil and gas deposits we have in Biafra land. To the Yoruba, Biafra is a selfish desire by Igbos to control oil and gas. For the stranded Middle Belt minorities, Biafra signifies abandonment. I know, I can understand and I share the fear of the Middle Belt. They fear the exit of Biafra will precipitate their inevitable annihilation at the hands of their Fulani overlords. Who will blame them? Once Biafra goes and Wahanako Fuf, Fulani will slaughter them. So I understand. So they should come with us instead. And we will defend them. To us, to we, the children of light, IPOB, Biafra means a right to self-determination, self-preservation, and ultimately a right to become autonomous and live in peaceful neighborliness with anything from the north, be it Arewa or Nigeria, whatever it's called, in a new compact that will ensure prosperity and fairness to all sides. The path to what we desire and the non-violent means to achieving it is neither new nor treasonable, as the Nigerian presidency continues to believe. It is the same path that saw the birth of many new nations around the world, most notably after the end of the Cold War. It is the only path to peace. We have succeeded in dismantling the colonial divide and rule the British colonial masters introduced to their southern Nigeria, which the Fulani oligarchy perpetuated through their gerrymandering of our borders that divided Igbo families and turned them against each other. Today, it is no longer in dispute that Ewanke Iwakiri in Edo State, Abo in Delta State, and through to Asaba, Onitsha, through to Ikwere and Opobo are all Igbo-speaking people and therefore of the same family. There is nothing like Delta Igbo. Mad people. We are one family. This year, 2019, we shall begin taking the first tangible steps into nationhood. We will do everything humanly possible to ensure our referendum is conducted this year. The process of extensive referendum consultation was not concluded in good time last year to enable us to hold it. Again, the cost implications made it impossible for us to complete the printing and production of our ballot papers, but we shall continue to work very hard to ensure its completion. Referendum is a very costly, resource-intensive exercise, and we want to get it right the first time because that will usher in the new Biafra government, even if it has to operate from outside the shores of Biafra land. The whole world knows that Nigeria is a glorified graveyard for talent and aspirations. Too many people have been stopped from attaining their potential in life because of the culture of mediocrity and impunity that permeate every sphere of human interaction in Nigeria. Stripped of every shred of honor and dignity, we march into the Mediterranean Sea to drown like lemmings off a cliff. After trekking through the unforgiving Sahara Desert, where the weak and unfortunate perish. This is the life of your average Nigerian youth with no hope or future. In response to the democratization of poverty and death in Nigeria, IPOB will be launching a social welfare public works scheme across the length and breadth of Biafra land in an effort to use our God-given talent and skills to develop and improve our land even prior to the coming of Biafra. Because political office holders we had hoped would do it for us are more preoccupied with stealing as much of our commonwealth as possible. We, IPOB, are going to do the little we can to stop our young people from trekking from our land to Europe that have resulted in the death of so many young people. This scheme will equally address the issue of lack of infrastructure, as IPOB will embark on minor road repairs, the rehabilitation of dilapidated primary schools, maintenance of drainage systems in areas prone to flooding due to blockages in the sewage system like Aba, Owerri, Onitsha, Abakaliki, and Igwacha. A welfare outreach team will be created to provide assistance in public places to those who cannot help themselves. There will be massive job creation in various sectors of the economy where raw materials can be locally sourced to help drive down the rate of unemployment, especially among young graduates. Our people, towns and villages will be our top priority as we begin to demonstrate the mindset that will guide us into Biafra. It's no longer about saying IPOB one family. We are here to demonstrate that we are indeed one family. We are in discussions with Israeli businessmen to help facilitate the creation of high-tech farm settlements, small-scale industrial parks in Cross River, in Delta, Imo, Ebonyi, and Benue states for now. That's the kibbutzim that you have in Israel. We are going to recreate it. Should the scheme prove successful, which of course it will, we shall roll it out across Biafra land. The unmasking of Jibril al-Sudani, the fake zoo president, will continue unabated. By the time we are done with Jibril and his handlers, Lugard will be truly ashamed of what he created. I would like to see how Nigerians are going to participate in elections where one of the names on the ballot paper is a dead man buried in Saudi Arabia. It is a shame that Nigeria, the zoo, is heading ingloriously towards implosion. We understand the enemy has announced yet another round of Fulani military invasion of our land in the name of Operation Pattern Dance, to help facilitate the rigging of elections for Jibril al-Sudani and the cronies of the Sokoto Caliphate across Nigeria. What I said previously still stands, and there is no going back. Chukwuka Abiyama is my witness that any reported shooting or killing of any Biafran by this Fulani Janjaweed army of the zoo will be avenged. Those who previously doubted our resolve should ask Okezie Ikpeazu what he's feeling or going through right now in Abia State. I am placing our colonial master on notice, Britain. They are our colonial master till tomorrow morning. That should the government of Theresa May give the go-ahead for any innocent Biafran to be killed again on Biafran soil, Nigerian soldiers will pay the price for it. Let the world not say we didn't say it. This Nigerian army have refused to engage ISIS in the major theaters of battle in the north, in the Sahel. This same Nigerian army led by Buratai refused to counter the killing spree of Fulani herdsmen across the middle belt, but they can easily mobilize the same army to come to the south, to come to Biafra land, to rig elections. Finek, and for their friends, and to kill non-Muslim populations with impunity. That will not happen. Policemen are being forcibly deployed to Facebook Haram terrorists, whereas the army that prides itself as the defender of Nigeria, they are the ones running scared from the battlefield. Instead, they are being sent to kill civilians in order to sustain Fulani hegemonic control of the zoo called Nigeria. Everything in Nigeria is upside down. That is why I struggle to understand why there are universities in Nigeria, because people go to school but end up not learning anything. Is it the job of the police to fight insurgency? That's my question. The most astonishing thing is that people are going about their normal business, pretending all is well when logic is being turned on its head. Can anybody identify any country in the world where the police is sent to the war front and the army deployed to carry out police duties? No, it is only in Nigeria, with her ignorant professors and pseudo-intellectuals busy scavenging for campaign funding for elections, when impunity is now the order of the day. None of this is surprising. After all, Nigerians cannot differentiate between a dead Buhari and an imposter from Sudan. How can you expect them to distinguish between the constitutional roles of the police and that of the army? What APC have succeeded in doing is democratizing ignorance, impunity, and cowardice amongst the populace. Can anybody say precisely why Sheikh El Zagzagi, Colonel Sambo Dasuki, and Jewish adherents are still in prison till today? There is nothing about the judiciary in Nigeria that leads me to believe that Nigeria is salvageable, even the judiciary. So this evening, as we take stock of what we have passed through in the past year and in the years before it, let us continue to remain committed and faithful to the ideals of Biafra, as espoused by IPOB, and prepare ourselves to be the first partakers of a Biafran nation that beckons and shall surely emerge in this generation. I thank you all for listening this evening, and may Elohim Chukwukike Abiamapuruminhenine bless Biafra. May Elohim bless Israel and all men and women of goodwill around the world, but above all, may Chukwukike Abiama bless IPOB.
Radio Biafra.
Live
Radio Biafra.
Lily, well, I love Naranga.
Broadcaster truly and genuinely championing the cause for the restoration of Biafra. This is Radio Biafra, RBL, the first, the best, and the last.